I'm a caring kind of guy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Well, there you fucking go. Mm. Go on then.
This podcast may contain questionable language, will contain spoilers, and is wondering how Steve is coping with Easter egg temptation during his training.
Everybody, and welcome to episode 266 or 67 or something.
One or t'other.
I'm counting the days, Steve.
I'm counting the days, Mark.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All four of them.
You got four off.
Maybe. Yep.
Easter. What are you giving up for Easter this time?
Caring.
I was going to say. If that had been my guess, that's the one thing that you were going to give up. Would have been caring.
Doing good.
Oh dear, it was on the tip of my tongue. I wish I'd got it out at the same time.
Oh,
yeah. Done one of those little jinx things. Yeah. So, as if I care, how have you been?
I've been all right, mate. I've been all right. I've done the most exciting thing so far of 2024, which was mowing the lawn. I got it topped off and mowed last week.
Gilded hours, actually.
Yeah. While I was doing it, I found three newts. Saved them. Yeah, I put them in a little area.
Oh,
so they can sort of mooch around. So I'm now thinking, do I need to add some kind of water feature somewhere for them? So
not three halves of newts.
No, they was just asleep under a brick I moved, and I was like, oh, let's move you back. So I've got to look after them. Might try and sneak a water feature in somewhere.
Protected species.
These particular ones weren't.
Yeah.
Depends what species they are, doesn't it? I mean, protected. That you shouldn't really cut anything or harm anything, but I didn't break any laws, collected them carefully, put them back carefully.
Good job.
Because I started my fencing, kind of. I had a bit of a fire. I thought, I'm going to burn them ones. I don't want them ones no more. So I've got holes. So I've got to start the fencing the next 4 days.
It's a bit windy for fencing.
It is a little bit.
70 mile an hour wind out there at the moment.
It is, but I'm not planning on going out there in a minute. I was going to wait until it's light. So hopefully by the morning it's gone.
What, so when it's light it's not windy? I don't think that logic works.
I think
works.
It's supposed to blow over, isn't it? It's supposed to be all right tomorrow.
Blow away, is it?
Blow away, yeah.
It's blow away. Good.
Main thing's basically been our road, mate. It's open, it's closed. It's open, the top's open, the bottom's open.
It's like a slalom, your road.
It is. And then we've got a big hole in front of ours at the moment. Bloke had a bit of a paddywhack today. I had a bit of a rail with him. I weren't happy. And that got sorted. And then he's had to dig the driveway up, to which he thought I was going to care. And I was like, you can't make it look any worse,
you
mate.
I'll tell you what, that's a blessing, mate. You should make them put that back really nicely. Yeah. You should have taken a picture of a nice-looking driveway and say that's what it looked like when you started. Like.
Yeah, no, he was like, after we'd had our little altercation, which got sorted out, he was like, run me up a bit sheepish. I need to dig a hole in your drive. I was like, dig the fucking lot up for all I care. So they was putting moulding machines. I got three holes still in it. So I told you not to drive over the yellow thing. That's quite a big hole under that.
Is it?
Just in case it slipped under your car and your tyre went down it.
Oh.
A big hole in the road. But yeah, it's been mayhem. But we got the gas back today. So that's good, isn't it?
Oh, you had no gas?
No gas for the day. They was panicking. And then, yeah.
Did you get a rebate on that?
No, got to do it, didn't they?
Well, you should rebate, shouldn't you? You put some money back.
I mean, it's the least inconvenience ever. We've probably saved money by Cass not running the heating. So quid's in. Quids in, other than that, mate, not a lot. Out about yourself.
Is it you've done something though?
Nope.
Yeah, you have.
Nope.
Yeah,
not you giving have. You the chance to dig me out about nothing, mate. You fuck you off have. And tell me about how you're
no, you have done something.
No, I haven't done nothing.
You have. You have.
No.
You have. Come on.
No.
I've got one observation here.
No,
come on.
You ain't digging me out about it, mate. I ain't bringing it up. I haven't bought it up.
It's
that's all
exciting. It's after all these years.
It was exciting until you shit all over it.
No, not really.
No,
I didn't. I congratulated
and I
thought, you in the only way that I know how, with sarcasm.
Yeah,
and
so
wit.
I thought, I'm not bringing it up. That way you can't dig me out on it. So how's your week been?
Honestly, you got a certificate. You got your certificate for your, what is it, degree?
I went
master's,
out, got my ceremony.
You did.
Went to my ceremony.
You did.
Walked on stage, got my little scroll thing walked off. Not
you
a
did.
Master's, but you know. I'm not.
You did. I commented on how you look like a travelling man going to court.
Yeah. See, I knew you'd have them all written down ready. I'm not stupid. Not my first rodeo,
you look
mate.
Like a travelling man going to court. In that, no, you look very nice, mate. Well done. I bought you some pork. Pork
oh, is that what that's for?
Yeah,
I assume they was from a Christmas hamper, and you didn't want them.
No. It's, congratulations for daring to wear that suit out in public. So.
Such a prick.
No, but congratulations. I have got my last 20 miles on my run to do, on Sunday, and then it started tapering down. It's less than 3 weeks now. No, right. 3 weeks Sunday. So the
you only go up to 20, do you?
Yeah.
So you've got to find that other six on the day.
Normally all right, because it's right near the crowds and all that. It's okay. Like, you feel like really bad stopping in front of everybody because they'll shout your name and all that.
I mean, I couldn't do the six, let alone the 20 beforehand.
So I've got 20 to do. So one more 20. I did one recently. So can't remember if I've been on since I did the first 20. I did a 20.
Right.
And then I've got one more to do on Sunday. So that's good, isn't it?
And then it starts trailing down, you say?
Yes. Yes, tapering it's called.
What's that, just to make sure your body can recover a bit?
Yeah, you go down to like 13 miles and then 10 miles.
Okay. And then shock it when you go there.
Yeah, it'd be all right.
That's a rib injury, though.
Quite sore, yeah.
Right, still milking that one.
I know, I had a woman from HMRC in the other day who made me, I had to do this test weighing because I didn't have anyone else in. And I had to strip pallets down and break them down and that. And I said to her, I'm not going to lie to you. Really unhappy about this, but I don't care, do they?
No.
So I'm still in a bit of pain, but, you know, it should go away.
Is it safe to sponsor you yet?
I'd wait till Sunday. I mean, what I'm going to do on Sunday is I'm going to aggressively post it on my social medias that I'm sort of there, if you know what I mean. So once I get Sunday out of the way and I'm all happy about that, I'm going to personally start, because I haven't personally said anything yet on any of my things, only in certain groups.
And I've been watching you.
Yes. So
giving you a good motivation. Poorly little injured hedgehog.
Yeah, exactly.
Good for you, mate. Good for you.
And I've been offered to, they asked me if I want to go over to the Wildlife Centre on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I might do that.
Yeah.
Go and look at the animals that I'm going to try and help.
Yeah.
All good, mate. All good. Let's hope that Sunday goes well and then we'll discuss it.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, let's see how it goes. All right?
Yeah.
Okay then, mate. You got any thanks?
I have, mate. I've got thanks to Louis Rame, Soundtrack Your Life, Right Stuff Review, Keith Noakes, Miles, Mike Can Ask, Watch If You Can, Talk Nerdy to Me, and the big return of Sean Panda Nicholson.
Blimey, to be sure. So, excellent. Thank you very much to everyone there for their reposts, and welcome back, Sean. I've got special thanks this week to Jill Cassie, Jamie Russell, Emma at Movies, LJ Human, Ian McIntyre, Mr. Positivity, and Eric. Kareem Helliwell, Ben and Paul from Filmbusters, Movie Jewel Podcast, Peter, Ryan and Glyn. That's all those thanks for those lovely people.
Thank you all so much.
Promo, mate.
Have you ever wondered, what is the most overrated film to win Best Picture at the Oscars?
Or what is the best Paul Verhoeven movie?
Or what the best Bond film is?
And the best outlaw biker movie?
Worst video game adaptation?
Well, here at the Movie Drill Podcast, we're here to answer those questions. On each episode, we select a subject based around movies, and then myself and my co-host each select a film that we think best fits that subject. The only rule being that you cannot pick a movie that has already been discussed on the podcast. So from best to worst, overrated to underrated, to anything that you can think of, here at Movie Drill Podcast, we've got it covered.
Are you buttering up Peter before you go?
I am going to rip that podcast apart, mate.
Fuck his podcast.
I am going to rip it apart. Taking you down.
What is that? You're going to like be really good for, you know, presenting movie drawing in a good light, you know.
As if we care.
Well, I thought I cared.
You did?
Yeah. I mean, you're always better than me at stuff like that because you're more social.
I try. I mean, it's not a difficult height to hit, is it? Let's be honest.
Thanks, mate.
I mean, let's be honest about it, don't it?
Yeah. You're right. I went and took my vest down to get printed for the marathon today.
Yeah.
Took Jill with me and then just like pushed her to the front of the counter. and then got angry with her when she got stuff wrong and that. Yeah. Terrible, wasn't it?
No,
terrible.
I can imagine this inner battle you've got where someone's gone, come down to the sanctuary and we'll show you around, and you're thinking, that's going to involve a person. Now, if you give me the keys, I'll go in and see the animals. But you're going to want to talk to me, and you're going to expect something back. Mm. I can feel it. I can feel the tension.
Yeah, it's a struggle, but you know it needs to be done, Mark. Yeah. It needs to be done. So, Movie Jewel podcast. There's a few bits coming up, including yourself, and you know, it's all those beautiful back catalogues.
Getting chunking a few episodes now.
Yeah, I know.
Big old back catalogue.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, they can come and see us when they've hit 266 or something, when they've lost count. Yeah. I do. But please listen to our friends, the Movie Jewel podcast.
Please.
Go on in.
Welcome to the Mark Reads Some Film Lines in Some Similar Voices and Steve Has to Guess the Film from the Lines Read to Get Points game. Hashtag, what's that film?
Or as it's now known, Jewel Got One. So that's what it's called now. Yeah, yeah. How many did you get?
One, mate.
Oh, good. How many did everyone else get?
So I've got to do a backdate one for Glyn. He got Cable Guy on 5. Oh. I don't know how many weeks ago that was. This week's, mate, or last week's, last times, was 7. 7. Letdown got a 0. Letdown got a 0. Emma got a 4, but she wants a 7. A lot of people going like that. Oh, I got this, but can I have a 7?
Well, it's Bantz, isn't it?
Yeah, Bantz.
No, they can't.
No, I didn't think so. Ryan got a 4. Kareem got a 5. Peter and Movie Jill got 5. Obviously, Jill got the 1. LJ got a 2. Jamie Russell got a 4. Maisie got a 1. And Jill got a 1.
Yeah. How many did Jill get?
1.
1. Oh, okay. Surprising, that one. Yeah. Just the 1. But
let me down there, Jill.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah.
But perhaps we're playing the game like we're in cahoots on that one. We've got to let him have a low one.
I don't care anymore. Really don't. So what you got for us this week?
It could be an interesting one, this one, mate, because I've never seen it. But I know a lot of people have. So they are. I thought, let's do a film that I've never seen.
Beautiful.
So, but I can guarantee no zeros this week.
Right.
Because even I would have got this one on a 0.
Okay.
On a 1 even.
Yeah.
Right, 5 points. What's that film? This is either madness or brilliance. Bear in mind, I don't know if that's the right voice because I've never seen this film.
Well, I've got no fucking idea, have I?
Okay.
No.
4 points. What's that film? You're supposed to be dead.
Don't pretend to put a voice on, you know what I mean? Because then you're just going to throw me off. You just might as well say it in the thingy. Supposed to be dead. Oh, no, because you would have seen that. No, I don't know.
All right, 3 points. I'm going to try a voice because I think I know where this one goes, but let's see what happens. 3 points. What's that film? Me? I'm dishonest. And a dishonest man, you can always trust me to be dishonest. Nothing like that. Nothing like that.
It's got to be something from, I don't know, it sounds like something from like Downton Abbey and all that.
Do you want me to go again and I'll try and give you a bit
go
of a
on
clue?
Then, yeah,
me, I'm dishonest. And a dishonest man you can always trust to be dishonest. Arr.
Something to do with farming. So,
what on a farm? Arr.
A film to do is with farming. It's it's what's its name? It's
Hey, well done, mate.
The farming film.
Not Babe.
No.
Right, 2 points for everyone else. What's that film? If you were waiting for the opportune moment, that was it.
Yeah, nothing like the voice.
No,
but
I don't know. I don't even know what one says it. And this one, last one, for 1 point. What's that film? This is a day you'll always remember as a day you almost caught Captain Jack Sparrow. Is he British or is he American in it?
Well, he's a pirate. Oh, dear, you know. Well done, mate. I mean, you
should have watched it.
No one's going to get one. I don't know. Well, why not? I mean, why would you not? You know, it's like a adventure sort of thingy. It depends if you like, what's his name, isn't it?
One-Eyed Willie.
No, it depends if you like Jack Sparrow, you know.
I don't know, I've never seen it.
Well,
I've seen him dancing around on YouTube and stuff, but yeah, I don't look at it and go, oh, it's particularly someone I really like, but...
Just watch it, shut the fuck up about it, and then you can just say you've watched it.
Oh, perhaps I'll watch it at some point.
Okay, all right then. So let us know what you think you got, or how many before one that you got, via DM only, please. There we go. moving on.
Yep.
This is...
Mark Miles.
So, yeah.
Baron.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Don't matter, does it? You know what I mean? Easter's not a great time to get questions, that is it? You know what I mean? All boring.
Oh,
that,
we did a movie themed Easter eggs once.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we've done all the Easter ones. Can anyone send us questions for next week?
They come in, they can chuck them in, mate. They can chuck
them
in.
Where can they send them?
Via Xaroonie, which is at @movie_drone, or via email on moviedronepodcast@hotmail.com.
Thank you very much, Mark. Moving on again.
Yes, mate.
This is the next section. This is the section that we love to call
Question Time.
Question Time. Question Time. Time for the question. Question Time.
Question time, question time, time for the question, question time. There we go. So we're gonna do quick fire.
Quick fire. I thought it was free balling,
whatever it is.
I was just thinking of them here.
Quick fire questions. You know, some questions. Yeah. Just fucking fire off some questions and see if anyone can answer any.
Okay.
All right. Go on then.
What movie things would you give up for Lent?
Watching romantic comedy.
Oh, good answer, mate. Good answer.
I don't know what else. What else would I give up? What movie things would I give up? I'll give up popcorn for Lent. You know, I'll turn to chocolate. About that. What about you? Anything?
Give up popcorn in favour of chocolate. I suppose it's better for your teeth, is it though?
You was going to ask me about the eggs anyway. I've been eating loads of chocolate.
Have you?
Yeah.
You've been chocolate.
I've lost so much weight.
You got through that slab I got you?
Yeah.
Have you done that?
Yeah, enough. I think I've got something like 6 Easter eggs sitting in the thing.
Really?
Oh, yeah, mate. I'm piling the chocolate down my neck.
There was a thing on the radio yesterday, some boring-ass scientist ruining everyone's lives by saying you shouldn't eat a whole Easter egg in one sitting. They had Jeremy Vine there trying to eat this whole egg. And he was like, oh, I'm feeling sick. Oh, I'm getting the depression from the Easter egg. And I was like, mate, I can do one of them in about 2 minutes and think, oh, where did that go?
Yeah.
Like, go down, put your little hand down on the tin foil and it rustles around and you think,
yeah. I'll just get another one.
I must have dropped it somewhere. Yeah.
Chocolate's my number one thing at the moment, mate. I'm having loads. Best courtroom scene.
Best courtroom scene. I really liked the one that made me feel all powerful in the Chicago 7 when they all stood there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is it Trial of Chicago 7?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So okay. Mine's My Cousin Vinny.
Okay.
Like that one.
Yeah, you like that
one. That's a good one. That is one of the best ones. Got any more? More questions?
How about you got to do a superhero movie, but the superpower's not allowed to be good? So let's, for instance, like... Silly things like me and Cass got this stupid thing. We had a conversation once and we was like, wouldn't it be weird? Like, you know, you have your belly button and that button don't do nothing, but wouldn't it be cool if you could push it and go piss yourself and someone pissed themselves? So you go, piss yourself. So occasionally we walk around and I poke her in the stomach and go, piss yourself. So that would be my superpower. I can make people piss themselves by pushing their belly button.
Then what? Belly button. You said billion button.
Belly button. Is it?
Fucking
yourself. Yeah, what?
I don't even know if I can beat that, Mark.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
It's good, isn't it?
It is a good one, yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know if it's a superpower, but there we go. I don't even... Top pieces of tech in movie that you wish were real?
Ooh. Well, I don't know if that counts as tech. I want that little pill out of Limitless. Does that count as tech? I suppose they've had to design it, haven't they?
Yeah, I suppose so.
That one, I mean, without the bit where your life falls apart.
Just
that middle bit where he's riding high and he's like, actually, I've took this pill and I'm actually smart. So it'd be good to be smart, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah, it would. I've got a few actually.
Your dream, because I'm just looking around trying to get inspiration.
I've got the powered exoskeleton from Elysium. Okay. I could wear them under my marathon running tights.
Cool.
So no one could see it.
Right, I'll double back to your marathon running tights shortly.
I've got lots of pairs of tights. The passive dream machine from Inception, so it could go in other people's dreams.
Ooh, dangerous. I'm not sure I want to.
How about the squid from Strange Days, a virtual reality mechanism that allows a person to feel and live exactly the same experience another person had had? Imagine if you'd had done that with Florence Pugh's boyfriend.
Better than imagining you in your marathon tights.
Which is all you can do now.
It was a helpful, segue from that, because I was just starting to feel a little bit sick.
Hopefully that just sticks in your mind. What else you got?
I've not prepared me. You've really sort of outdone me here. You've outdone me. Let's say a film you would want to turn into a series.
Film I'd want to turn into a series. Yeah, do you know how they series?
Do? Like The Gentleman, I suppose we've come out and we've got The Gentleman series.
Right.
What sort of one would you like? Either a continuation or just a series of?
We've just mentioned it, I think, Inception.
Okay.
Different dream scenario every week.
It's a good one.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's got legs, isn't it? I mean, it might run out of bits, but you could...
It'd only be a six-parter.
Exactly. Yeah, do what the Brits do, get in, get out. Yeah, make a exactly good series and yeah, move on.
Yeah, not... yeah. Top mullets in film, last one.
Oh, top good or top bad?
They're all good, Mark. They're all good in their own way.
I got it.
Go on.
Kiefer Sutherland in The Lost Boys.
Right. Okay.
That's a winner. That's a fucking winner.
It's a good one. Is that the one you got? Because I've got a few. I do like a mullet.
Well, I mean, you've sprung it on me, so yeah, that's the one I've got. Go on.
Nick Cage, Con Air.
Oh,
that's
beautiful.
A good one, isn't it? Roddy Piper, They Live.
Right, yeah.
Woody Harrelson in Natural Born Killers.
Well, didn't they both one. Have a mullet? I think they both, but yeah, both female, of them were pretty solid, mullet. Yeah.
Jean-Claude Van Damme in Hard Target. Dolph Lundgren in He-Man and Kurt Russell in everything. So, yeah. basically.
But is it Julianne Lewis is the only
Juliette
one?
Lewis.
Yeah, he's the only one to come in with a female mullet.
Yeah,
I think
possibly.
She won that, didn't she?
Didn't what's her name have one? What's her name? Is it Charlize Theron in that Monster?
Oh, yes.
Didn't she have one? And obviously you. So there we go. Free balling.
Free. It always works out for the best, doesn't it?
Done.
Peace yourself.
Quick. quick fire. There we go. All right. So you want to move on?
Yes, mate.
We saw a film.
Yeah, we did, mate. We saw a film. It's currently 8.8 out of 10 on IMDb. It's a 12A, 2 hours, 46 minutes long. Bills an action-adventure drama with a synopsis of Paul Atreides unites with Shanai and the Freeman while seeking revenge against the conspirators who destroyed his family. $190 million budget, so far grossing $575 million.
This is directed by Denis Villeneuve, starring Timothée Chalamet, Zendaya, Rebecca Ferguson, Josh Brolin, Austin Butler, Florence Pugh, Dave Bautista, Christopher Walken, Lea Seydoux, Stellan Skarsgård, Charlotte Rampling and Javier Bardem.
Timothée?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. This is 2024's June, part two.
Clip.
This world is beyond cruelty. You've been fighting the Harkonnens for decades. My family's been fighting them for centuries. They were massacred. Alongside my father.
Your father didn't believe in revenge.
We believe in Fremen.
Let me fight beside you.
Reload!
Wow, that was a very, very intense clip there. So we saw a film at cinema. I think we both went.
Yeah, we did.
It was a good one, wasn't it? So nice trip down. I went on my birthday. Oh, so what did you think, mate, of 2024's Dune Part 2?
Well, I feel very inclined to point this out to start with, right? It's only my opinion. Many people are going to disagree, but I've just thought it was a bit meh. No doubt in my mind it's a cinematic masterpiece. The sound score is amazing. And from that aspect, it is faultless. But it suffers a little bit like Avatar from me in that lot's not enough to make a great film, in my opinion. Only my opinion.
I don't know. How familiar are you with the book? Because I'm not familiar with it. I don't know how far the book goes. So does the book cover sort of this storyline and beyond, or does the book stop at sort of the end of the first one and this one sort of like artistic license, or is there a second book or whatever? I think it covers
three films, so I think this is part of, from what Miles has told me, because I think Miles has read them.
More than one book is there?
I don't know if it's more than one, but one just big bastard.
Right.
But it covers, because I think we're getting a third one.
I don't think it's greenlit yet.
Right. Well, 575 million gross, it's greenlit. Take my word for it.
Do you reckon? Yeah. Because it was under 90 to make.
Well, yeah, you'd do all right. I think he has said, unless I can make it. But I think it needs finishing. I really do think it needs finishing. But Miles kind of helped me out with different bits, because I was like, where's the spice come from? Apparently that's a worm shit in the book.
Is it?
That's the worm shit. So that answered that, because it was a question I had.
That's a valid question, mate. Exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. It plays a part in the film.
He said he seemed to recall it was the worm shit.
Right. Interesting. I just don't know, because I don't know whether the books cover it or whether we're just on like artistic license now and someone's just sort of like making it up from now on. I mean, I've got to be honest, it was probably just about the sequel that I wanted. It probably just about made it. Maybe it was circumstance, because obviously I was off for a few days, which is not normal for me. And it was my birthday, so got treated and, you know, I had all like nice stuff and all that. So wore a new jumper down there and everything. Oh. So I thought it was all right. I didn't think it was magnificent. I think that there was a little bit, I suppose the first one I really enjoyed because of the intensity, the flamboyance of it, the almost regality of it. It felt like you was watching something quite special with the costumes and everything. I think obviously now it's gone a bit underground. It's lost a bit of that. And, you know, it was less nice to look at. And so, you know, I suppose drab in a word. But I think they did just about enough. I mean, I stayed awake for the whole thing, which was good for me. You know what I mean? 2 hours and 45 minutes. I didn't really feel the length. Jill had a little doze off. I had a snoring and that. So, I'm probably sort of with you. Maybe just
a
bit
above you. That's good to know, though. I've got a bit of backup. But it's like, I mean, I love, and I still love the first one. I thought it was fucking great. We're introduced to the characters in it, and we get to spend time with them. We develop them. We learn about them. And I don't think this film expands on anything. This is my biggest issue. I don't think we expand on anyone. The characters that are introduced, I've got that Avatar thing where I don't really care. I'm not attached to anyone. Even with Chennai and Paul, I'm not attached to them. I don't actually care if they live or die. And I genuinely think that's a big issue in a film. I mean, I think it did very well in the vibes of peril for Paul. I think there's peril above everyone and anyone could die.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure he don't, because people would be talking about that. But I don't think it moved us forward. I'm hoping they're setting it up for this third one that's the big bit. But I think they've ruined characters.
Right.
Chennai, Moody didn't really do a lot. I don't think Paul really did a lot. Rebecca Ferguson's character, I think they fucked up.
Well, I think that's probably, I've got the Rebecca Ferguson storyline I was less interested in. I think the moment that you sort of put her into a bit of the background and sort of changed her character, you know, quite a lot, really. She sort of become a person that was sort of obviously meddling in the background and that and trying to create situations and things. And I think once you took her away from Paul, I think it did become a little bit. And she was one of the people that was obviously very interesting in the first one and looked stunning and, you know, good costumes. And now we sort of just got her sort of sitting in a muddy hole.
Scowling with those other people.
Yeah. So I totally agree on that. I think Zendaya, I mean, I have a problem with her. I don't know if I've ever seen her smile. I'm not quite sure if she's ever smiled in her life or what. I mean, I don't know. I just see her as a very angry person. But I'm sure she's not. But her character itself, I don't know. I didn't quite click with it. I thought it, I don't know, she was like more like a child in amongst adults. I think it didn't quite work.
I think what it's, for me, what it's trying to say, whether I'm not right or not, is that she initially fell for Paul, and I think she's now got a do I trust him, don't I? And there's that sort of standoffish vibe to her. But I think that's ruined it. And I think the biggest thing is, I can't work out what they're fighting for. It's just literally revenge, isn't it? Because there's no big utopia at the end. What do we... We won! This Baron Dustland is ours.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I think
it's just a revenge story. Yeah. Part of me don't think they've covered enough of the right stuff, and I'll get on to that, but I think we've spent so much time doing riding worms and shit like that. I think we've forgot to spend time with these new characters that have turned up. I mean, I want to know why the Baron is so disgusting. I think we had Lynch's old one. The Baron was vile.
Yeah, and I think when we done the first remake, something that I was a bit pissed off about was that they toned it down quite a bit.
Yeah,
and I think from the first,
he was rank, wasn't he? He was like, you knew he was rank. I didn't get that from this one.
No, I mean, I didn't get it from the first one of these ones. I think this whole thing could have had him a little bit more vile like the first one.
Yeah, I mean, Florence Pugh stood there like a wet fish. I don't know what the point of her was whatsoever.
I think, you know, she, if there's going to be a third one, I think obviously she'd be quite prominent because he's going to marry her. And I can see, obviously, the Zendaya's arc is moving away. And, I think she will be more prominent in the third one.
I hope so. And then I think Austin Butler, I thought he was fucking brilliant. Great character. But again, didn't spend enough time with him. I want to know. He could have been a real win, but I wanted more.
Yeah.
And I just think, actually, I thought it was really weird when Austin Butler first came in. I thought he looked really like Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
And then to see Stellan Skarsgård there, and I'm like, fuck me, that could have been him.
Yeah, it was weird. They did look identical,
didn't they?
But I mean, that character was pretty good. I had a bit of a problem with it that by bringing in that character, it pushed Dave Bautista down. I think unnecessarily too far. It made him almost like a bumbling idiot. And I still think that he could have been a good character. I mean, even to the point where Dave Bautista's death was a bit of a flop. You know, he was fairly prominent in the first one. I thought he at least deserved a little bit more of a sort of fighting death.
One of the things I really hated, I think I've called it the Purcell effect. Because in the first film, like, we've got this huge villain, haven't we? And he's nasty and he's like really, really bad. No one can beat him. Mm. And then suddenly this one comes in, he's weak and easily defeated. And it's like, you know, when you're like, this is our new Purcell. It's better than our old one. Our old one's really shit. This one's better than that one. But that one, when that came out, was the best thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think they've ruined a really good character there.
Yeah, I don't know why they pushed him down quite so far. You know, there didn't seem to be any fight in Bautista to sort of
it's broken
as soon as Austin Butler came in. Yeah,
but I don't think we had a real reason for that.
No,
I know he was like, oh, the Baron was like, oh, I'll get in charge and this is happening and I'll make these decisions and stuff, but he should have really still been that tour de force and take him out on a high.
Yeah, the Austin Butler characters, I liked the sort of almost sci-fi gothic feel because he was pretty horrible. You know, when he had the concubines and stuff like that and what he was doing. I would have liked to have seen more of that, whether or not I would have preferred it to have carried through into the third film so that I could see more of that. It seemed, you know, it was probably enough, but that was the sort of part that I liked, and that's what I was missing from the first one, that sort of depraved part of it, which we didn't get with the Baron, and we got a bit with Austin Butler's character, but
not enough for me.
No, I don't think so.
I think we spent too much time riding worms,
I don't even know if he was portrayed as I know that they think that he was sort of like a tough guy, but then they weren't really. You know, they were giving him handicapped people
this
to beat and
this
stuff.
This is a thing that I found really strange.
Yeah,
it was like he was supposed to be this big, massive, up-and-coming thing. And the only reason he found out he did it was because the Baron sort of stitched him up by taking his force field off, which were underused in this one.
Yeah,
very good. And, he wasn't, like I expected, like you say, to build that character up, to make him really mean, to make him nasty. same as the Baron, and I don't think they did that.
Well, it almost makes Paul's victory quite shallow, doesn't it, at the end? And that's the thing, you know, he hasn't had much to beat. I mean, the Baron went down quite easily, and Dave Bautista's character got done by. Was it Josh Brolin sort of, done him in the end as a bit of thingy?
Well, a piece of piss one, wasn't it? Just kind of walked up. And
So, I don't think that they finished the people off well enough, if I'm honest.
Losing some the better characters from the first one as well.
I thought Timotei, it was quite good. I mean, he does play. I still can't think of another actor that could probably have played the role quite as well. I liked his character arc, sort of becoming mentally strong, because he's obviously got to a point now, making the decisions, you know, later on after spending all the time with Zendaya and then telling her that he'll love her forever and then just saying, I'm going to take Florence Pugh's hand in marriage to do this, that, the other. You know, it shows that there was some sort of character development into this strong person who sort of deserves to be where he is at the end. I think that it's probably the only character that they didn't mess up. I say mess up, you know, it's watchable, but, you know, it could have been more of an epic.
I mean, I suppose they can only follow the story, but if you're going to make a character's character decline, I want to know a bit more than it just happened.
Yeah, of course.
And it, for a 2-hour-46 film, we got plenty of time to do that. Let's spend a bit of time with them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we spent quite a bit of time sort of underground and that, didn't we, with those ones. And I think that's, again, why it wasn't as sort of flamboyant and colourful. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still think it looked great. I don't know whether it was up for Oscars for costumes because, I mean, you know, there was some good costume design. I don't know whether it was too late to actually be up for recognition this year.
I'd imagine it'll roll into the next lot.
Yeah, it did look great. You know, it was shot really well. There was only one bit that I thought was a bit dodgy, and that was when they were riding the worms. Yeah. I just thought some of the CGI was shit. And Jill ruined it a bit for me and turned around and said, how do all of those people get on the same worm? You know, when you have to attach yourself and like ride it, and then when they were going down south, there was like 20 of them all on the same
stable on that hook, either, did it?
Yeah, but how did all of them get on there? Yeah. And she's pissed me off by saying it because now I can't answer that question, and now it's pissed me off. Yeah, yeah. I can understand, even though I didn't particularly like the whole thing of riding the worms, it made a good scene when he tried to do it. The CGI looked a bit ropey when you saw them in the background riding them. Yeah. But yeah, she's right. How do you get like 20 people in a tent and all that on the top of one when it's going that fast? I never saw them stop it at any point.
A worm stop.
Well, this is the thing, you know. So yeah, she's ruining
it. The 1025's coming by. All aboard. Ding, ding. Can I go back to a sentence you said?
What?
And I think this is one of the biggest ones for me. And you said it kind of lacked a bit of colour.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know why this is such a big deal to me, but it has put a real dampener on it, and it's the loss of the bright blue eyes.
Right.
In the first one, they were really vivid, and if you had this dull landscape, you had their really piercing blue eyes, and I thought that colour palette was amazing.
Mm.
And they even pointed it out when he was doing like the spice stuff, and they're going, oh, he's going to get beautiful blue eyes. It never happened. There was none of these piercing blue eyes. It's almost like they forgot it existed.
Right,
And I found the whole lack of it weird, and I think with that drab look, to have them looking at each other and having them really blue eyes, we needed it. Why didn't we have it?
Yeah, I think also you had, when we had the first one, you had the contrast between good and bad. So the bad was blacks and darks and etc. and greys, and then the good were all the golds and the colourful costumes and stuff. And then obviously you had the goods with the eyes and everything. But this time everything seemed to be obviously on quite a dull palette. Again, as we said, the costumes I still think were good. But we didn't really have that easily recognisable good and evil, did you? You know, over the two things. Music, I think, was great. Hans Zimmer done it. I don't really remember, you know, I can't really remember it, but I do know that it was fitting of it. I couldn't sing any.
A couple of people who I've seen, have talked to, have seen this, said that their cinema was absolutely rumbling and how amazing the sound was. And I agree the sound was awesome, but didn't get that rumble in our cinema. I don't know if they kept the sound down. I don't know what yours was like.
I don't know. I don't know if it really does, though, doesn't it? I mean, you're probably talking about like an IMAX or something that probably would, you know, they have those cranked right up, don't they? I think ours is sufficient, but it's not anything like an IMAX on that, is it? But I do like the idea of where it's gone, you know, the possibility of having sort of like interplanetary war thing or whatever. And I'm sort of glad that it was only teased and we don't really know who the other people are, who the other factions are and what they look like. It gives them artistic license to make it whatever they want to be . I don't know where the book goes.
I think you saying it could be up for Oscars. I think this could be up for a Golden Raspberry as well.
Right.
For the worst miscast actor. Christopher Walken.
Right, okay.
Awful. Awful. He did not come across Emperor.
No, but I mean, you got an Emperor there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's so many other things. He could be an Emperor of a very small part. And then there could be the people.
The High Emperor.
Exactly. You know, he could be sort of an Emperor. Mm-hmm. And then it could expand the universe. So there could be like better ones. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know. It's like a king of a really shit.
I just thought he was awful. I thought he was awful. Another thing that bothered me, do you want another one? Nothing new. I remember sitting watching the first one, right? And we got force fields. Great. We got the worms. Great. The spacecraft. The dragonfly helicopters. And it was a real discovery seeing all this new stuff. And you're like, that's amazing. It's so clever. I really, really liked it. It's wondrous. And then we kind of stood still. There's nothing really new. What did we have?
Well, I don't know. It's a continuation of a story.
It is.
It? You
and
know,
I've got my hopes pinned that this is a second one that's a setup for the third one. And actually, when you watch a third one and you watch them all in continuation, it's going to make so much sense. And his vision is going to be absolutely phenomenal that you're going to go, that second one is so needed in the set because A, B, and C.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got 9 hours to watch them, probably one after the other.
But I can handle it not being that brilliant. I'm confused with everyone coming out saying that is the best film. It's still sitting at 8.8. People are saying it's the best film. It's so much better than number one. I don't get it.
No. Yeah, well, I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it. I thought it was, as I said, I thought it was, I had a nice time at the cinema. When I think about it back, you know, some of the things that we've mentioned. I mean, I'm not going to rush to sort of watch it immediately again. You're probably right. Probably wait till I can watch them all one after the other, maybe.
I'm not writing it off. There's no right. I can't sit here and say it was a bad movie. No. I just think I'm more confused on how everyone is finding this amazing. And it is beautiful. It is amazing. It sounds great. It looks great. It is a masterpiece of cinema, but it's not a masterpiece of a film for me.
Right.
But perhaps when we put it all together, we're all going to go, oh my God, that is the best trilogy ever made. Fuck me, that's brilliant.
Right, okay. Got any score?
65.
Right, okay. I mean, I've got 74.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit better than that. So, let's see. Let's see what happens. See if the scores die down.
I hope I'm corrected. Like I say, I will give it another go. I don't know. Sorry, everyone.
I don't think they care. Have you watched anything else?
I've watched the Beckham series.
Oh, right.
That was good. And then I watched the new Roadhouse.
Oh, right. Mm. Yeah, I've seen a bit of that. I turned it off when Conor McGregor came on.
Golden Raspberry for overacting, like overacted everything. I enjoyed it. I thought Jake Gyllenhaal was great, actually. I thought he really suited the part well. I think if they could have toned McGregor down or got someone in who could act.
Like a travelling man going to court.
It could have been great. It was good. Right. It was good. I enjoyed it. It was free on Amazon because they couldn't charge for it because no one would pay for it.
Yeah.
But actually, popcorn movie, mate, great. Okay. Still much for the original, but you know.
All right. I watched The Truth versus Alex Jones. He's a wanker, isn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't realise what a wanker he was. But yeah, I watched that. Yeah, what a wanker.
Nice to see the downfall of people, isn't it?
Yeah, it is indeed. But that's about it. I have watched some stuff. I can't remember what I've watched, Mush.
I've probably watched quite a bit more, if I'm honest. Mm. But again, I can't really remember.
There we go. Bad memory.
Yeah.
But okay, right, moving on.
Yes, mate.
This is the next section. This is the section that we have to call
homework.
So there we go. So this is a section where we give each other films that we love and the other one hasn't seen in the hope of uncovering hidden gems. It was you to me. What did you give me?
I gave you a film, mate. It's currently 7.8 out of 10 on IMDb. It's a 15 1-hour 45 minutes, builds a drama, fantasy, romance. With a synopsis of a screenwriter drawn back to his childhood home, enters into a fledgling relationship with his downstairs neighbour, whilst discovering a mysterious new way to heal from losing his parents 30 years ago. Starring Andrew Scott, Paul Mescal, Jamie Bell and Claire Foy. No budget, but a $17 million gross, 2023, All Us Strangers.
So I wish, in a way, right, I wish that I could get as emotional about these sorts of things as you do.
Yeah.
Because I could probably enjoy or understand them a bit more. But I don't know, do you just go around sobbing at stuff? Is that,
This one particularly destroyed me.
I've actually read someone who said that this film cut him in half.
I'm not going to go that far, but I remember sitting there after it ended and I just felt emotionally fucked and I shed quite a bit of tear and I was like, fucking hell.
You must spend a fortune on tissues. You must do. I mean, you know how I feel about ghost stories. So you must know that it's obviously going to have a little bit of a downward spiral about that. You know, these films that use the elements of ghosts, sort of that sort
is
of.
Is it ghosts?
Well, yeah, really, it
do
is.
You think? It's not psychosis or something like that?
Well, I've looked into a few bits on it, and I think that the original book itself was, I think it was like a Japanese book. Now, in the Japanese tradition, ghosts are everywhere and ghosts are in normal life. So if you've got like a river, there'll be ghosts and souls and all that there. So yes, in a way, its roots come from ghost stories. Okay. But I'm not going to lie, the performances were exceptional.
Yeah.
Andrew Scott, I actually like Paul Mescal.
Yeah.
A lot in it. I thought that they were really good. And it has got a lot of, you know, loads of different things dealing with grief, loneliness, etc. I'll get all of those bits. I suppose the main problem for me is that I'm a bit too literal. Right?
Okay.
So I spend a lot of the film questioning things like, where is he having these like discussions with his dead parents and stuff, you know, is he falling asleep on the bus and having like a little bit of a thing there, or, you know, and this is why I can't enjoy the supernatural elements of films, because I'm always thinking about these sorts of things, which didn't help, because, you know, there was a picture of him on the bus, weren't there, and then it sort of like went just too literal for me to
needed
think
a
about
bit
it.
Too much imagination.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't mean that as an insult, I mean that as a thing, because I think you could decide.
The thing is, I'm sure that it is such a good film. You know, there's the way that it interprets longing and desire through the love story of the two blokes was fun and sad at the same time. I certainly got those sorts of feelings from it. And there is a deep message in there about how you deal with the past and don't let it trap you. You learn to live with it, don't you, rather than live in it. It was just difficult for me to understand or to actually not think literally about it. Why are they both living in the flats on their own, and why is he just, where is he having these dream things and all that?
Now, one thing I read about, and I don't know if this is in the books, that this is actually not set in real life.
Right.
It's actually set in purgatory.
Right.
So they're living in purgatory, and with him going, he has crossed to the other side.
Right.
Which is why his parents said they have to go now.
Right.
Because they were moving upwards.
Right.
And the same as Paul Mescal.
Right.
And I think that was quite a strong metaphor within that. It's, I think there's a lot you can take how you want to take it in it. I think there's a big thing, and a big, I think it, for me, it was really clever because it covered so many different aspects where you've got the child, he's a grown man, but he's a child and he just wants his parents to be accepting of him and proud of him. And that's all a kid wants. And all the parents want is for their child to be happy. And like you say, past traumas, these things that shape us from being a kid to an adult, you don't realise shape you.
I mean, you know, this thing is way too deep for me to have really got into. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I get it. I
certainly would recommend it because I know a lot of people that we know that watch film will certainly get a lot from it.
I just had this overwhelming emotion through me through watching this whole fucking thing. It was weird.
Right.
I have not been affected by a film like this. Like, I literally, we went upstairs to bed. You can laugh, you can do what you like, but she went to brush her teeth. She come back and I'm sitting there fucking grizzling again. And she was like, that's really got to you, isn't it? And I was like, yep. And it tore me to pieces. And
see,
I was like,
this is the thing. I don't,
hell.
Yeah. That's quite weird to me, you know, to have that sort of.
It was, in fairness, it was weird. I've never ever had that with a film.
Right.
This is the first film where actually I sat there, I watched all the credits go up and got to the end and I was like, right, you ready for bed? And she's like, yeah, yeah. So went up and it was just in me. It was weird, fucking weird.
I mean, I did see the end coming.
Yeah,
I did see that coming. Yeah. I thought that he was going to be passed away.
Yeah.
Upstairs, which sort of added to the confusion a little bit more for me. You know what I mean? I thought to myself, how much of this bloke's life has just like been daydreaming about all these things? You know, and where did he do it? And how long did it take? Where was everyone else while he was doing it? And this is the thing, you know, I can't just detach myself from it.
So it's a purgatory one for me made the most sense.
It does now, yeah, now you say it, because I suppose if no one else is in, you know,
which is why they're not in, no one else is living in the flats, and why people are having to pass away and why the parents had to go and all bits like that.
Makes a bit more sense. I don't know if that's anything to do with the book. I haven't really heard that. I mean, I can score it on how well a film it is and how well it was acted. Not quite sure I liked the end with the light and stuff. Well, that was a bit weird, but yeah, you know, I can score it. I mean, I've scored it at 64.
That's fair, mate.
Because the acting was great, you know, and the writing was really great, and you know, there was an element of it that I sort of did feel for the bloke because of the parents thing and all that, and not everyone was really good in it. And I can't do it a disservice. People were saying that it should have been up for an Oscar.
This would have gone to my top 2023 film.
Would it? Yeah. People were saying it got snubbed, they were saying. But I can see it. And, you know, I mean, maybe you can read the book. See what that's like. I don't know if it's in Japanese. I don't think so. But
I can read Japanese. Smart, aren't I?
Yeah, of course you are.
Remember, got a certificate and everything.
but just a bit too much for me, mate. Just a bit too much.
No worries. Good one.
I'm going to give you a 2024 film directed by Robert Morgan, starring Ailing Franciosi. Running time of 93 minutes, box office of $804,000. I don't have a budget. 5.6 on IMDb, 89% on Rotten Tomatoes. With a synopsis of a stop-motion animator struggles to control her demons after the loss of her overbearing mother. I'm giving you a 2024 film, Stop Motion.
Oh, this is an intriguing one. Yeah. I remember the day of you tagging me this in a trailer onto Facebook and me looking at it going, that looks special.
Yeah, we'll just see how you get on with that one.
Interesting. Thanks, mate.
I don't know what we're doing next time.
No, I don't know.
Might be Roadhouse. Yeah, can't do that.
No.
No.
Something else then.
Yeah, okay. We'll let you know. Yeah. We'll let you know. So then, mate, how can people contact us on social media?
They can get us via the old X-A-Rooney, which is @movie_drone, or via email on moviedronepodcast@hotmail.com. I don't know, are we taking a bit of a break now? Because you're like going away and shit, aren't you?
No, I don't know. No, I'm not going away I'm going away in 3 or 4 weeks.
We've got another one in. Then we might be taking a small hiatus.
We might do, yeah. Well, let's see how we get on the next one, you know. Yeah. See if I make it through. I'll be doing the marathon at the weekend. Yeah, possibly. Yeah. We might get one out before I go away.
Okay.
It's only because I think that I obviously need to edit it for the marathon. But let's see.
You'll either hear from us.
Let's see.
Or you won't.
So, mate, You all done?
Yes, mate.
Okay, thank you very much for listening,
thanks,
everyone.
All.
Say goodbye, Mark.
Goodbye, Mark.
See you later, everybody.
More of a plea, this one, mate, than a joke. More of a plea. So we got 4,500 followers, something like that. So if anyone's listening, right, I'm starting to collect stuff like kerosene oil lamps, Bunsen burners, anything like any of that sort of paraphernalia.
Oh, dear. Fucking paraphernalia.
Don't send us fucking oil lamps. I really ain't interested.